going anywhere. Spirit's not going anywhere, but I do feel like I have something from the Lord, and so we are going to just continue in the flow that is here, and you may be seated. We had scheduled Leadership Summit for January, and got snow in the beginning of the week, and then got snow the end of the week. Brother Kevin Breckenridge texted me and said, whenever I want snow, we just need to schedule a seminar. And going into Leadership Summit, I really felt like the Lord impressed on me for us to finish off Leadership Summit with communion. And of course, January got postponed to March, and I'm not quite sure how, when we picked this weekend, none of us thought to check when daylight savings time kicked in. Of all the weekends to lose an hour, we got a lot of weary people here tonight. I won't call any names, but I got one of those emails I may have to just save for the fun of it, because leadership is required, expected to communicate if they're not going to be in church. And if you're not a leader, you're welcome to do that too. It gives us peace of mind to know where you are, what's going on, if you're sick or whatever. And so you can do that at tellus@myantioch.org. We've had an email for years that we use for that. We've also had a text message number that many people have been texting faithfully, and it's somewhere floating around in cyberspace. Thankfully, we found out yesterday we've got 3 or 4 people that faithfully text. We just have nobody that gets those texts. So I got an email to tell us, or we, there's about 5 or 6 leaders, senior leaders that get that. And someone from Leadership Summit said, we're going to be there tonight, but we may fall asleep. So I can appreciate that. But we had it yesterday, Friday night yesterday, and I felt the same thing. In fact, they had worked on getting everything prepared. And we say we're apostolic, and that means we don't always stick to the agenda the way it is, right? And we got to the towards the end of the day, and I just really didn't feel like it was the timing to do that. But I did feel like the Lord directed me that not only to do that, but what I was going to share as a part of that yesterday, I felt like He impressed upon me to just go ahead and use that this evening. So I'll do my best not to preach very long, but I do feel like the Lord has laid something on my heart. So we are familiar, as you've heard me say, many of you've heard me say, I can quote all kinds of scripture. I just can't always tell you exactly where it is. Unlike Bishop, I remember back in the day when we all brought Bibles, or you only had a regular Bible, there were no devices, he'd say, I think it's on such and such a page, and he'd reference. And of course, it had to be in a Thompson chain Bible. Some of y'all don't know nothing about that. But back in the day, if you were going to be a real preacher, you had to own a Thompson chain Bible. That was the Bible. So I'm not proud of it. It's a weakness, I guess, but I know all kinds of scripture. I just can't always give you the specific location. So there's a whatever. We're familiar with some of the things scripture says. We're familiar with some of the things Jesus said. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. We know that Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have love for who? One another. Not love for, he didn't say there love for the lost. He said love for one another. And you know, you're familiar with the idea, the principles that we are to love one another. But I want you to hear something that the Apostle Peter said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, he says, honor all men. But then he says this, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. And that's not a pastor in Denver, Colorado. Brother Danny Hood, a good friend of mine, pastors in Colorado. We are told, Brother Middleton, to love one another. But Peter says more than just loving one another, we are to love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the King. The Amplified Bible says, show respect for all men, treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God, honor the emperor. So Peter is saying there's more than just simply loving your brother. There's more that you need to do than just love your sister. He says you ought to love the brotherhood. The word brotherhood in the Greek means the abstract for the concrete, a band of brothers, i.e. of Christians, Christian brethren, a band of brothers. You don't just love the brothers, you love the band of brothers. You don't just love the brothers, but you love what the brothers are collectively. Strong's, that was Thayer, Strong's says that brotherhood properly is the feeling of brotherliness, i.e. the Christian fraternity. And I know fraternity is not an unfamiliar word, but that word basically means a group of people associated or formally organized for a common purpose, interest, or pleasure. There is more that we are supposed to love than just simply loving a brother or a sister. We are supposed to love what this is all about. The biblical illustrator says this, the brethren and the brotherhood, there is a great difference between loving the brethren and loving the brotherhood. The brotherhood is the society of the brethren. It's the church. Each needs the other. The love of the brotherhood, divorced from the love of the brethren, will always lead to superstition, to an undue reverence for form and custom, to some sort of tyranny. But the love of the brethren, separated from the love of the brotherhood, will always minister to foolish divisions, to confusion of faith, to ecclesiastical anarchy. St. Peter, who said love the brotherhood, said also love the brethren. You see, what that was just saying was, it is possible for you to love your brother, and I'm using the term brother in a generic sense here, not in a gender-specific sense, but love your brother and love your sister, but not love the brotherhood. And that's why you can get sectioned off into cliques and factions. Because you found the brothers and the sisters that you love, but you don't love the brotherhood.
You found the people that you like to associate with, but you don't have the same allegiance to the brotherhood. The customs of the ancient society, the ways of the church, ought not to be readily laid aside. The probability is that the brotherhood is wiser than any of the brethren. What is that statement? The sum of the parts is greater than the whole. What is that? The probability is that the brotherhood is wiser than any of the brethren. So for some of you that perhaps in the last few moments the thought has crossed your mind, I'm okay with loving some brothers or some sisters, but I don't feel that way about the brotherhood, is because this place ain't perfect. Well, welcome to the club. I want you to listen to what Galatians chapter 2 says, and for the sake of time, I'll just read it from the Amplified. I won't read the King James and then read the Amplified. I'll just read it from the Amplified for the sake of time. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter, and this is Paul, obviously this is Paul speaking here. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. Let's put it in 2024 terminology. When Peter came to Antioch, I had to get in his grill. That's what Paul is saying here. When Peter showed up to Antioch, I had to get in his face because of his conduct. He's talking about the Apostle Peter. I don't know about you, but if I was to list the greatest people, the most significant, important people, especially from a spiritual perspective, that ever lived outside of Jesus, number one on my list, in my opinion, is the Apostle Paul. The amount of the New Testament that God used him to write, and the things that are in there that are such a key part of our personal lives and of the church collectively, and in my opinion, Paul is. And Peter would have to be in those top five for me. So this is Peter and Paul. This is the guy that has the keys to the kingdom in his pocket. And what was it that Paul had to get in Peter's face over? Because when he first arrived, verse 12, Peter, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who don't bother with circumcision and the many other Jewish laws. But afterwards, when some Jewish friends of James came, he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what the Jewish legalists who insisted that circumcision was necessary for salvation would say. And then all the other Jewish Christians and even Barnabas became hypocrites too, following Peter's example though they certainly knew better. Some of what you all have found fault with, and rightfully so. Flaws that you found, Paul got in Peter's face over. Peter, you're hanging out with the Gentiles as long as there's no Jewish brothers around, but as soon as the Jewish brothers show up, you're dissing the Gentiles to hang with the Jews. It wasn't a new convert that Paul was rebuking. It wasn't a new convert that Paul was having to rebuke over this. It was the guy that preached the first message of the church. Well, some people around here, they're just hypocrites. Join the club. Hear me, please. I am not saying any of this to justify any flaws we have, but I am making the point, if you're looking for a perfect church, I came to the realization a while ago, if Paul and Peter couldn't have the perfect church, I am definitely not going to be the pastor of a perfect church. From the beginning, there have been flaws and issues in the church. And until the rapture, there's going to be flaws and issues in the church, because the church is made up of human beings, and human beings that may be forgiven, but they're not perfect. I'm not justifying the wrong. I'm just telling you it's a part of it. But if you want an excuse to just isolate yourself with the brothers rather than love the brotherhood, I promise you God, not the devil, God will provide the excuse. Love. Love the brotherhood. Not just the brother. Not just the sisters. Not just a few people that are your people. Well, I got my people. I'm good as long as I got my people. You better hope that your people is the people that God decided you to be connected to the body through. Because if your connection to the body has to be somebody, if it happens to be somebody besides your little group of people, you might be in trouble if you don't stay connected to who's connected to you. Love the brotherhood. Love what this is all about. Love what this represents. Love what we are striving to be. Peter says, love it. Read Romans chapter 16. I've used it a couple of times now in a couple of different settings, but read Romans 16. I would encourage you to read Romans 16 in the Passion Translation, because it really breaks some things down. But do you know what I think I could say some of the essence of Romans 16 is? It is Paul's expression of loving the brotherhood. Because the great majority of chapter 16 in Romans is Paul expressing his love and appreciation for different people that he had encountered in the church. Different people that had ministered to him, and different people that were ministering in different places. It's Paul expressing how much he valued, how much he loves the brotherhood. I don't know about you, but if the Apostle Paul, that meant something to him, it ought to mean something to me. If Paul valued the brotherhood, to give almost an entire chapter to expressing that, to calling out certain individuals that they weren't apostles and they didn't write parts of Scripture, but they were people that had impacted Paul's life in such a way, and they had impacted the church in such a way, that Paul says, in essence, I want to give a shout out to some people that I love because of who they are and what they do and how they give.
All my life, there's this book I'm about to call from the Bible. We've said it one way until we had somebody that was a part of church that we pronounced their name a different way, so I don't know which one it is. I used to always say Philemon, and then Philemon came to church, so take your pick. It's only one chapter, so verse number 4. This is from the Message Bible. Listen to what Paul is saying. The same guy, the same one that writes all those things on that we use as fundamentals of spiritual warfare. The same guy who says that he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The same guy that gives us some of the things that we use for church structure and some of the most important principles, again, of our personal walk with God. Listen to what Paul is saying here. Every time your name comes up in my prayers, I say, oh, thank you, God.
I keep hearing of the love and faith you have for the Master Jesus, which brims over to other Christians. And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do, and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel. Doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. I think some of the essence of what Paul is saying here is, man, I love the brotherhood. Philemon, Philemon, I got it in my head, I can't help it. I love what you do. I love how you do it. I love when I hear about what you're doing. I love when I hear about the way you're living and the way you're impacting lives. I just love it. I don't just love you. I love what the bigger thing is. Oh, Jesus. I love the bigger picture. I love you, but I also love I love what this represents about what we're doing and about who we are. Peter says, don't just love one another, but love the brotherhood. I got the verses. I'll spare you the time of whatever. I'll save the time of reading them. But the Bible says of Jonathan and David, their hearts were knit together. One of the best examples, one of the best pictures of friendship you can find anywhere is Jonathan and David. Amazing. What really is so amazing to me about Jonathan is David was the threat to him. I don't know that Scripture says this totally plainly, so I acknowledge this is an assumption in some ways, but I think I think Jonathan had the right to expect to be heir to the throne. It was his father on the throne. And here comes this young shepherd boy starting to get all this notoriety and fame, getting all this recognition for killing Goliath. And then they start singing about him. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. But you know what? Jonathan loved the brotherhood. Jonathan loved something bigger than himself. Because if Jonathan didn't love the brotherhood as well as the brother, he would have had more than enough chance to get rid of David. He would have had plenty of opportunities to cause David not to be able to become the king of Israel. But there was something inside of Jonathan that said, this isn't just about me. This is about something bigger than I am. I love something bigger. What if God has chosen you to be Jonathan instead of David? What if God has chosen you to be somebody's Jonathan? Anybody's willing to be David who's going to be the king and sit on the throne, but how many people are volunteering to sign up to be Jonathan? That, you know what, I may never get the notoriety, I may never get the fame, my name never may be called, I may never be recognized as the man after God's own heart, but there's something here bigger than I am, and if I can do my part, and if in some way I can support the one that God has chosen to sit on the throne, I feel like, I'll just be transparent. I feel like I've lived my life in the shadows. I feel like I spent most of my life being known as Chester Wright's son. My grandmother, may she rest in peace. You know what you're always supposed to say when you reference the dead? Come on. Not my grandmother Singletary, my grandmother Wright. She would let people know. We'd be at a conference or somewhere with her, and she'd introduce herself. I'm Chester Wright's mom. She'd say it just about like that. I'm Chester Wright's mom.
I feel like most of my life I've been known as Chester Wright's son. And then now I've spent a good 7 or 8 years being known as Chester Wright's dad. But also Esther's dad, Elizabeth's dad, Timothy's dad. Oh, hey, you're... And my wife has said something along the lines of, and not just in that context, but in the context of many others, maybe our job is not to be in, maybe God hasn't called us to be in the limelight. Maybe God's called us to be the supporters of others that are. Y'all are all having great spiritual responses, but that wasn't mine to her. I haven't spent my life dreaming of being everybody else's supporter. That wasn't what I dreamed of. My ambitions for ministry was not being the one to help support everybody else. But thankfully, that's pretty much died. I'd love to tell you it's completely, absolutely dead, but I'm not sure if I could tell you that. Every now and then it kind of gasps a little bit. But you know what? I think I'm pretty good with that. I'm pretty good that there's some people. I thought it and I said it to an extent yesterday at Leadership Summit, but there's just some absolutely amazing people in this congregation. And forget the natural part, because there's plenty of that, but there are some of the spiritual giftings and callings and things that are growing and developing in lives. It is absolutely amazing. So you know what, Brother Gus, I don't want to just love the brothers, because if all I do is love the brothers, you might become a threat to me. But if I can love the brotherhood, if I can love what's bigger than me, I'm going to love you. But then I'm not going to be threatened by you, because my job and your job is not competing with each other. Our job is supporting the greater good. My senior year of high school, I averaged 21 points a game. Not too bad, huh? Not bad. Thank you. Not bad. 21 points a game. I was the number two guard. I was known for being an okay three-point shooter. We went to the championships 3 out of my 4 high school years. First 2 times we went, we lost. We played in a small pond. We weren't in, you know, public school and all that, but we had some good competition. 21 points a game my senior year. Championship game, guess how many points I had? Take a guess. Come on, 21. Anybody else want to take a guess? 25 plus? I'm liking that. You're close. He said 8. 6 points. 21 points a game my senior year. Championship game, I got 6 points. But there was something that happened way more important than me not getting my average that night. What happened that was way more important that night is we got a couple of fellow teammates here. We won. And I got to tell you, I couldn't care less that I averaged 21 points all year and I only got 6 points that championship game, because it was about the brotherhood. I'd taken a heartbeat to win and 6 points over my career high, but a loss. What is it you're more interested in? Your name getting called, but we may lose. Your name getting called, but we don't really achieve who it is God's called us to be. What if your name is never called? What if you're not the one that's ever known, but you're willing to be like a Jonathan and be a support, and you love the brotherhood, and you're willing to do whatever you can to make the brotherhood everything that it can be?
I don't know how I came across it. I think I have 700 or 800 followers on Instagram. Whatever. And I follow less than 50 people. It's not because I think I'm better than anybody, but I've learned this. The less people I follow, the less reason there is to check Instagram. Until I get going on the reels and wasting time. Somehow recently, some of my wasting time I came across in my feed, I guess it popped up, and I've temporarily started following it. There's a guy by the name of Paul Johnson. Anybody heard of him lately? Huh? Paul Johnson is in the process, and this was, my numbers were based on yesterday, but Paul Johnson is in the process of a cross-country run. He's running, attempting to run 3,000 miles across the United States. Started in L.A., he's going to New York, and he's attempting to do it in 40 days. I think the record is around 50 or 60, and he's attempting 40 days. As of yesterday, when I had made notes for yesterday's session, he was 7 days in to that run. I think he's averaging somewhere around 75 miles a day. I don't run 75 miles in a year. No, 75 miles a day. You know what? He has a 7-member crew. Seven guys that have committed to 40-plus days, living out of what appears to be just kind of a small motorhome, driving. You know what? For those of you folks that love to just drive 5-10 miles an hour, God bless you. They're riding along as he runs, and every now and then people in the areas he's passing through, runners will come and run with him for a while, and there'll be the pace runners with him. But seven people that have bought into something bigger, that have committed to something greater. If in fact Paul Johnson makes it across country in 40 days or less, it's not that crew that's going to get celebrated. It's not that crew that's going to be talked about. But I can absolutely guarantee you that if you would hear Paul Johnson talk, if he makes it, he's going to tell you, I did the running, but there is absolutely no way I could have run across country in 40 days without the crew that supported me, without having somebody that was willing to buy in and love something bigger than their notoriety, their reputation. Rob Simbionti is Paul's crew chief. He says, my objective is to take as much stress and decision-making off of Paul's plate as possible. As a former Special Operations Navy diver, I am familiar with the pressures of timeliness and processes to complete this. I see my job. My objective is to take as much stress and decision making off of Paul's plate. Wow. If all you do is love your brothers and your sisters, you're not interested in just being the thinker for somebody else. You're not interested in just being the support to somebody else. But when you love the brotherhood, You're willing that, you know what, if it's not me, if it's not my name, but if I can be a contributor to what's happening and I can be a contributor to success. It's what happens when you love the brotherhood. I don't know about you, but I love the brotherhood. Man, I love what this is all about. I love what this represents. I've had to deal, I'm just being transparent with you, in the last 9 to 12 months, I've had to deal with some of the most challenging things I've ever dealt with in all my years of pastoring, but not one bit of that has changed my love for the brotherhood, for what this represents, for what this is all about. I sat there, was it, good grief, time flies. Celebrate Recovery Dinner was almost 2 weeks ago now, right? And I sat there that night, I found me a spot. My wife and I, we are a great team. I was hoping to get that, but I really didn't care. God has put us together and balanced us so well. And we get in social settings like that, and I just go find my spot. And then I just let her be the butterfly and float around and talk to everybody, and we're good. I'm good, at least. I kind of got a spot intentionally but unintentionally. And Brother David, I just sat there as people were mingling and eating and knowing what was going on, knowing what was represented, and watching people that were there to serve and help and support. Like, man, this is amazing. I love this. I love the brotherhood. I love you, but I love the bigger thing as well. Do you love more than just your brother and your sister? I don't want to be unkind And I'm not trying to be mean, but when you slip in right in time for service and you slip out as soon as service is done and you don't engage and involve yourself in other things throughout the week, you may love some brothers or some sisters, but I'm sorry, you don't love the brotherhood. Because if you love the brotherhood, you find opportunities and ways to be a part of the brotherhood, to get exposure to the brotherhood because of its value to you. Done this morning, and I really gotta work on not preaching so long on Sunday mornings. I gotta work on that, but I'm not sure I can change this late in life. I preached till almost 12, and we had altar call, and I had to, my wife and I had to talk to someone for almost 10-15 minutes, and then we went in to the office and had another conversation that was probably about another 15-20 minutes. And so a good 30 minutes or so after service, came back out and I look up over here and man, there's a group of young men that are just still hanging around. I love the brotherhood. I love watching that. We got done here on, I know some of you weren't a part because you weren't supposed to be, and I'm not trying to make you mad at me for mentioning it so much, but forgive me. But we had leadership summit. We got done after 9 o'clock Friday night. We started back up yesterday morning at 9:30. And after about 20 minutes after I was done with my part, I had to tell people to get out of here. The lockup guy was trying to lock up. He wanted to go home. But there was probably still 20, 25 people hanging around. Might as well just bring your sleeping bags and stay till the next morning. I got to tell you, I love Brother Middleton. I love that. That's the brotherhood. There's so many other things and ways that it's manifested. But I'm challenging you tonight. It's not just about loving your brothers and your sisters. Peter says you need to love the brotherhood. You need to love the feeling of brotherliness, the Christian fraternity. I feel like the enemy has spent so much time these last few years trying to tear down the significance of what we are and who we are and what we do.
So I'm making the approach. There is, I believe, there's some primary reasons of what communion represents and why we do it and when we do it, some basics, but can I tell you, I believe there's a part of taking communion that has to do with my association to the brotherhood. See, some of y'all are good with participating with communion when it's only about Jesus and His body and His blood. But we're not taking communion tonight just simply about Jesus and His body and His blood. But we're about to take communion tonight as a part of a demonstration of our association with the brotherhood, with the body of Christ. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." The Amplified Bible says, verse 16, "The cup of blessing of wine at the Lord's Supper upon which we ask God's blessing, does it not mean that in drinking it we participate in and share a fellowship, a communion in the blood of Christ, the Messiah? The bread which we break, does it not mean that in eating it we participate in and share a fellowship, a communion in the body of Christ? For we, no matter how numerous we are one body, because we all partake of the one bread, the one whom the communion bread represents." Verse 17, the Message Bible says, "Because there is one loaf, our manyness becomes oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us, rather we become unified in Him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what He is. Because there is one loaf, our manyness becomes oneness." That's about the formation, the sustaining of the brotherhood, the body of Christ. I'm very sorry to tell you, you're not going to heaven by yourself. Jesus is not coming back for individuals. The rapture is not to rescue individuals. The rapture is to come get the body, the bride, the brotherhood. That's what the rapture is taking out of here. The word communion there in the King James is the word, the same word that gets translated as fellowship. That's the word koinonia. The word koinonia is fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, contact. It is the share which one has in anything, participation with, it is contact, fellowship, intimacy. It is a benefaction jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution as exhibiting an embodiment and proof of fellowship. You're not just to love one another. You're to love the brotherhood. I got a few people that I like, and I got a few people around here I'm okay with, but that's it. Then you love your brother, but do you love the brotherhood? When you love the brotherhood, you find whatever ways you can to make it better. If all you do is love your brother, you're willing to pick apart the brotherhood. If all you do is love your sisters, you're willing to criticize the brotherhood. Is there anybody that's had to tell your hand to stop smacking your face? Isn't it amazing that your body never intentionally hurts itself? If your body is attacking itself, they call that a disease. Because it's not natural, it's not normal for your body to fight against itself. How sad it is that the body of Christ oftentimes attacks itself. Let me tell you something, there are people, and I'm sure you can say this first part, hopefully you can say the second part. There's people that have done things to me through the years in the church that have hurt me. There's people that have said some things to me that were hurtful. There's been some times that people I trusted and looked up to and admired did or said things that hurt me. But you know, one of the things that always got me through it, every time I knew I could trust their heart. It didn't make the pain go away. It didn't mean that it didn't hurt, but I knew if I could trust their heart, we'd get through it. If I stopped trusting their heart, if I stopped trusting their sincerity, then we had a big problem. Maybe you've been married for 30 plus years and you've never said a wrong word to each other or you've never mistreated each other, but in almost 32 years now, there have been a few times we've said or done things to each other that were hurtful. But I know one thing for sure. If my wife has ever said or done anything in 32 years of marriage that hurt me, the one thing I know is I trust her heart. With everything in me, I trust her heart. You need to make up your mind you're going to trust your brother's and your sister's heart. Because you're going to get hurt, you're going to get disappointed, you're going to get let down sometime. But if somehow you can make up your mind, you know what they did wasn't right, how they acted, how they treated me wasn't right, but I believe their heart is in the right place. That's what happens when you love the brotherhood. So as we get ready to partake of communion, I'm going to make this challenge to you tonight. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But if you participate in taking communion tonight, what you are doing is demonstrating. What I am thinking you are doing is demonstrating by your actions. I love the brotherhood. Brother Kimbrell, I don't remember the exact way you said it, so if I get it a little wrong, forgive me. But I remember hearing you express after you guys went through the passing of Chloe, talking about the church, the importance of the church getting you through that. I love the brotherhood. We don't always get it right. I don't always get it right. You don't always get it right. But I love the brotherhood. I love what it does. I love what it represents. I love what it provides us. So while I want to keep loving you, I want to keep loving my brothers and sisters, I want to love the brotherhood. Brother Barr and Brother Middleton, would you guys help me out? Would you each grab one of these trays of those crackers? In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to begin to break them. Brother Isaac, would you come? And there is a plate, and just go ahead and do it this way. Brother Isaac will be holding it that has gluten-free crackers, so if you need that, we do have that available for you. You brethren, Brother Middleton, just set those on each of the corners because you're going to need to break those up for a moment. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to pray for a moment. As I pray, if you, brethren, will go ahead and break those into smaller pieces as we get ready to invite people to come. Father, I thank you for this body of believers. You guys can go ahead. I thank you for this group of people that make up the brotherhood of this congregation. I thank you for the brothers and the sisters that are a part of this local body. Lord, I'll be the first to acknowledge tonight, we're not perfect. We've got flaws. We've got areas that we need to improve. We've got areas we need to grow. We've got things that we need to make progress on. But God, I believe that in general, we're progressing to who you would have us to be as a body. Lord, I pray that in this place tonight, as we get ready to partake of communion, Lord, I pray that there would be a fresh solidifying of the brotherhood of Antioch Central. Lord, that there would be a strengthening of the connections in the spirit first and foremost, Lord. Lord, you know the things that the enemy has tried to do in the last days, weeks, months, even several years, whether collectively or in lives individually, to cause there to be a separation from the brotherhood. I pray, God, that as we partake of this time of communion, that there would be a healing that would take place if needed, that, Lord, wherever any breaches may be in the body, wherever any schisms may be, that you would bring a healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just a second, I'm going to ask you to, I'll give you a little bit of instructions, and we'll have you come and begin to get juice and a cracker. But I do believe that before we partake of communion, a little bit of time of searching and repentance is a very important thing. Scripture talks about negative consequences of participating in communion when you're not in the place you need to be. So would you just take a moment right now, and if there's anything specific that comes to mind that you need to ask God to forgive you for, if there's any resentment or bitterness, if there's a grudge that comes to mind, would you just ask God to forgive you? And if it's something to do with unforgiveness towards somebody, will you commit right now to do what you got to do to make it right? Lord, I pray that you would search me. God, if there's any sin in my life, any sin in my heart, I pray that you would wash me and cleanse me. Pray that you would forgive me, Lord. God, if I have any aught against a brother or a sister, I pray that you would reveal it, Lord, that I might be able to deal with it. God, I want to have a conscience that's void of offense towards you and toward my brothers and sisters. God, I don't want to have any aught. I don't want to have any offenses that are settling in my spirit towards my brothers or sisters that would cause me to be a negative influence on the brotherhood, on the body. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand? And as you're standing, Brother Andrew, would you come grab one of these trays, Brother Tommy, Brother J.R., Brother Tim, Brother Gus, I think that might still need a couple more. Let's see here. Brother Boyer, would you come and grab one of these? And let's see, Brother Rafter, would you come and grab one of those? And they're gonna stand. I don't know the best way to do this, but I don't want you to go back to your seats. So if you could... you guys could kind of move up towards the aisles, and that way people can come and grab and pass by you, and then just kind of make your way off to the side. So there'll be Brother Barr, if you'll position on that aisle over there, and Brother Middleton, and that way you guys in this section can go that way to your left and come down. You guys go to your right. You can get a cracker from Brother Barr, and then you can grab your juice. And then over here, this section, if you'll go to your right, you guys will go to your left, come down. And then as you come down, just stumble all over each other and push each other out of the way, and let's have mass confusion. Again, if you need a gluten-free cracker, Brother Isaac is all the way to my left. So no matter where you are, you'll have to go. So if y'all will begin to come, we'll do this as chaotically orderly as possible. But I know we oftentimes just go back to our seats. But again, based on kind of what we're representing tonight, I want us to stay together. You guys with the juice, move out closer so that they can pass by you and fill in the altar. Brother Boyer, if you'll step up. Brother JR, step up a little bit. And then some of you can just come fill in right here in the middle. They don't have to all go to the sides, but just kind of fill in here. I know this takes a few moments, but if we could just kind of be mindful of the atmosphere that we're in and we want to maintain here. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, let your presence, let your spirit do a fresh work in us tonight. God, I thank you for all that you've done in Antioch Central. I thank you for all that you're doing. And I believe we have many great promises that we've yet to see fulfilled. So I pray tonight, God, that there would be a fresh work of your spirit done in us. Joining us together, strengthening us, strengthening the brotherhood of this congregation, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Still got a lot of room here in the middle. Neither do I want you all just crowding up in on the sides. We got space, plenty of room here. I'm not preaching anymore, so I won't spit on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name. Almost there. Got just a few more folks coming. So we need you to gather and look. You guys kind of fill in space a little bit here. Give some more folks coming a little more. Make sure we got room for everybody to gather in. Let me go ahead and just do this so that once we partake, we can have a little bit of a season of prayer. Once we've eaten and once you've drunk, which is it? Some of you just kind of help out and collect up the cups real quick so that once you've done that, we can just kind of join together with each other for a few moments, praying one for another. I'm going to say it again. I know there's various reasons and a lot of ways. I'm not saying this is the first and foremost context of why we do communion, but tonight this is the context. What you and I are about to do and eating this cracker and drinking this grape juice it's an outward physical demonstration of our connection, of our commitment to this brotherhood, to this body that God has placed us in. Is everybody that's going to participate got what you need? Good. Almost. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Brother Jalen, everything set enough that all those folks up there could just come down here? You guys, come on down here, media. If it all goes haywire, we'll survive. No, I know, but I don't want them detached from us. I appreciate that, but thank you guys for thinking ahead. Thank you guys for being my crew chief and planning ahead for me. I appreciate it. I want them to. Put that camera on wide angle and it'll be fine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody still need a juice? We got one more right here. We just need one more, two more. How many need, still need? If you still need, keep your hand up, please. Three. Jesus' name. Do me a favor, just kind of bow your head, close your eyes for a moment. Let's, Father, let your presence, let your spirit rest on us. Lord, there's a world. There's people surrounding us, this county that you've placed us in. Communities that are around us needs there to be a brotherhood that's strong and thriving here. Needs there to be a group of people that love the brotherhood, that love what this is all about. We love one another and we need to, but more than just loving one another, we love the brotherhood, we love the body, we love the church. We love what it represents. We love what it means that we are a part of. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I think we're ready. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me.' You may eat." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body. Thank you for the physical body you gave to be able to provide the spiritual body that we are now a part of, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us to be able to be here tonight, to be who we are, and to do what we do, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." You may drink. Lord, thank you for your blood. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary that washes away our sins. But Lord, your word tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. Lord, we know that in our natural bodies, blood provides oxygen and then it takes away those things that are negative for us. Thank you for your blood. Let that blood flow in this body.
You just kind of pass those cups around. Somebody kind of collects some up around you. Once you've done that, once you've given your cup up, would you join hands or put a hand on the shoulder of somebody that's close by you, and let's just begin to pray one for another here. God, I pray tonight that you would strengthen the brotherhood of Antioch Central. I pray, God, that if there are any divisions, any schisms in this brotherhood, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen and heal tonight. I pray, God, that you would bring about a greater love, not just for one another, but for the brotherhood, Lord. For what we represent, for who we are collectively, Lord. Ikaraba shandolo bo satala bahaya. Ilabando robo satala bahaya. Hey, arabo sika yando robo satala. Join us together in a fresh new way, God. Strengthen the bonds of brotherhood. Strengthen the bond of brotherhood amongst us, Lord. Let us be an inseparable band of brothers. Lord, make us an inseparable band of brothers.
So take me by
the name of Jesus. Together.
Together.
We're in this together. We're in this together.
There's
no foe
that can defeat us.
Oh, we're walking,
side by side. As long as there is.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We will say.
In the name of Jesus.
You're my
brother. Oh, yes.
You're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work till he comes.
No foe. No foe.
There's no foe that can
no weapon formed against us can prosper. As long as there is love,
as long as
we're gonna stand. We're gonna
love,
stand.
We will stand. There's no foe that
oh, yes, Lord.
We're walking side by side.
Oh,
as long as there is love, we will stand.
Lord, let there be an inseparable bond of love. Let there be an inseparable bond of love that forms a brotherhood amongst us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you find a couple different people? Just find a couple more different people than what you've just prayed with. Just another few moments here. Maybe find somebody that maybe you don't necessarily know well. Just make a connection with them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I need you.
I need you. I can't make it on my own. I need you. I need you.
You need me.
We need each other.
We're all a part of God's body.
Oh, yes.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with me.
We're all in this together.
We're all a part of God's body.
We're all in this together.
It is His will that every need be supplied.
You are important. I need you.
I need you to survive.
I need you.
You're important.
I can't make it without
me.
Jesus.
I need you to
But I
survive.
Can't make it without you. I can't make it without Jesus.
I pray for you.
But
you
I can't make it without
me.
You.
I love you.
I need you.
To
I need you.
I
need you. I need
you. Words from my mouth. I love you.
I need you
to survive.
Oh,
it is His will that every need be supplied.
You are important to me.
You are important to me.
You are important to me.
I need you to survive.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
'Cause I need you.
Oh, you need
me.
We're all in this together.
We're all a part of God's
body. We're all in this together.
Stand with me. Agree with me.
Oh, yes.
We're all a part of God's body.
In the name of Jesus.
His will that
every in the name of Jesus.
Be supplied. You're all important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Some are still praying. Some of you are connecting with one another. Whatever you feel to do right now, that's fine. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.